into the jungle. We got Hart and Dwayne. We got Cameron Gillian. Man, Jack Black is insane because it's Jumanji. Welcome to the jungle.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Guilty Movie Pleasures.
Yes! Yes! Made that up 3 seconds ago and didn't fumble!
That was really well done.
You know, hey, if I have a special skill, it's half-assing my intros, and every once in a while I stick that landing.
That's one of your strengths.
I just stick it like a gymnast. Isn't that what they do?
I mean, not like that.
No?
No.
No?
I don't think they clap before they throw
clap
hands
into
up.
A Y?
No, that's like a cheerleader, what
Y-M-C-A. You're doing. Y-M-C-A. Anyways, that's a whole different thing.
There's a significant difference between cheerleading and Olympic level
and
gymnastics.
And there's a bigger difference between gymnastics and the Village People.
For sure.
But hey, that's what we're starting with today.
There it
Ladies
is.
And gentlemen, welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures. I am your host, unfortunately, as always for you. Just kidding. I hope you like me. Ben Begley. Hey, you can check me out at the Ben Begley. That was a weird spiral I went on. And with me, as always,
I'm
Jesse McIntosh.
Jesse McIntosh. I don't give a fuck if you like me.
Yeah, that's why you're here.
That's why we have balance. So there it is.
Can you feel it?
Yeah.
There's been a disturbance in the force.
As where can they find you, Jesse?
On Twitter and Instagram, at Too Much Jesse.
Ooh, I got a noisy chair.
Nice.
That's going to be fun for the iTunes listeners.
Try and utilize it as best you can.
Yep. Here, I got to get my notes. I didn't print them.
I was going to say, like, this is the second straight episode you've come in no notes.
I have notes.
Last time it was just because it was a live or a film in theaters.
Yeah, and I didn't want to, like, could you imagine if I was taking notes on my phone in the theater?
That would have been hilarious.
Super annoying.
Yeah. You should, if you had done it, you should have sat right next to someone.
Especially with like the 3D glasses
like an
we
empty
had on.
Theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Right next to someone.
You know what? I just saw Ready Player One today, and it's awesome. And I would love to know. I won't go on a tangent about it. But if you saw Ready Player One, geek out with me on Twitter because my head's exploding. And I found certain scenes that were plot scenes. I was, instead of listening to what was going on, I was going, oh, Battletoads, oh, this, oh, that, oh, Goro, and just, like, pointing out in my head all the Easter eggs, and so I need to see it again for some of the plot that I just glossed over when geeking out.
I just saw Mudbound, so if anyone wants to chat Mudbound with me, I'm ready and prepared. It's not as fun of a hang. As Ready Player One.
I didn't see Mudbound yet.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
It's a bummer.
It's a real downer.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here talking Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. And the reason we chose this, even though it has a 76% on Rotten Tomatoes, I personally don't think it's guilty at all. I don't feel guilty watching it. I think it could be considered a guilty movie pleasure because it's ridiculous and silly. But they, instead of... like just doing the video game tropes and you watch it and go, oh, this is a video game movie. They make fun of the video game tropes and they play up the NPCs, the non-player characters. And we talked about how Tomb Raider was like the best video game. The new Tomb Raider is the best video game movie that's been made, a direct translation. But I would argue this is the best video game movie ever made. If, even though it's not obviously really translated.
It's not based on a real video game, right?
No, but it's so fun, and it hits all the video game tropes, and it plays like a movie. Like, it plays like you're playing a hilarious video game, which sounds like it shouldn't work at all. It sounds like it should be like, after a while, you're like, even the second time watching it last night, I was like, all right, this is where I'm going to get tired of it. And then it was still hilarious. Like, I never get, it moves. It's a 2-hour movie, but it moves.
Yeah, sure does.
And it feels like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think? Because I saw it in theaters, and my wife, Renee, and I just loved it. We thought it was hysterical. I'm interested to know what you thought, Jesse.
So the guilt for me came in the run-up. Because I was like staunchly in the camp of like, they probably shouldn't have made another one.
Yeah.
Like Jumanji was a really, really fun and good movie.
Yeah.
And maybe we should have just stopped there because it was great. And why rehash it? And then when someone told me when it was in theater, someone told me that it was a video game rather than a board game. I was like, oh, they probably didn't need to do that. Like, I don't know why.
It had all its cards stacked against
it.
People being like, why the hell is this coming
right
out?
What are we doing with this here? And so, like, going in, I had a lot of trepidation and a lot of, like, it had an uphill battle.
And did it win you over?
And it was so much fun.
Yes!
Like, it was such a good time.
It's such a surprise, right?
It just flies. Kevin Hart to me, like... Any time he was talking, I was like, this is probably the best part of the movie.
My favorite character is Jack Black because Jack Black playing Bethany
right.
could have dipped, and Renee and I talked about this at length both times we watched it, could have dipped so easily into stereotype of just like, that's all the characters could have dipped really easily into the tropes that they are in like the Breakfast Club type opening.
Yeah.
But they humanize them a lot. And Jack Black, never once do you think while you're watching it like, oh, that's Jack Black hitting on that guy, or that's Jack Black playing up a... I'm like, no, that's Bethany in Jack Black's body. Like, right. he grounds this absurd character and these ridiculous lines in... I don't know how he does... I don't know how, because it's so easy to hit the gas on that and be annoying.
It was so clearly, like... the other three were clearly, like, enjoying themselves, but Jack Black was having a fucking blast.
Yeah.
And he was just having so much fun, and it was very clear. And, like, the whole scene where he's teaching her how to flirt.
That's what I was going to say. Steve, if you can you look up on YouTube if there is that clip of Jack Black teaching Karen Gillan how to flirt in Jumanji? Because it's just visually, it's hilarious.
But
Jack Black teaching to flirt in Jumanji.
But that particular scene was a little bit meta for me, because it seemed like Jack Black telling Karen Gillan, how to behave in a sexy way. Like, it seemed like he read that scene and then incorporated all of those things into what he was doing for the entirety of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, that was super interesting to me.
I would love to know, and maybe this is, I watched it on Vudu. I want to buy it, physical copies, because I'm a nerd and I still collect physical copies. I will not subscribe to just buying digital. That's bullshit.
There you go.
But anyways,
I take a stand
mm-hmm. for clutter. stand for my clutter. My wife hates it.
For the sake of garbage.
But I would love to know in the behind the scenes, or maybe it's on IMDb and I just should have read it, which scenes were shot first. Like, you know how when they do an animation film, the voiceover's done first and they animate according to the actor to make it look more like them. It's either the kids saw the performances of The Rock and Kevin Hart and all them and mimicked them, or vice versa, because they are dead on. Like, The Rock has Spencer's quality. The only one that doesn't, even though I think he's hilarious, is Kevin Hart. He is nothing like The Fridge in the game, but
no.
I don't care. Because this is like an unofficial sequel to me for Central Intelligence, which I thought was hilarious. Oh, perfect. We'll play it in a little while. Just keep that. Central Intelligence I thought was hilarious. And I will watch anything with The Rock and Kevin Hart, because they are the perfect foil to each other.
Sure.
The scene where Kevin Hart is Fridge stepping up to Spencer in the game.
Yeah.
And he shoves him off the edge and then he slaps him. The Rock slaps Kevin Hart and he flies against the wall.
Yeah.
It's such a fun physical comedy moment. I was crying. I was laughing so hard at this movie.
Yeah. But you're right. And like,
they embody their teenage characters.
Totally. And I almost would have been upset had Kevin Hart embodied the teenage version of him, just because like Kevin Hart should just do Kevin Hart.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, that's what we're here to see.
I didn't want him to do anything different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so just, if you're nitpicking.
Right. Right.
Like, Karen Gillan nailed the Martha, even some of her looks and mannerisms and like insecurities. And it's such a cool, and I like the fact that even though her outfit was very much, it was an exploitative outfit for her.
Right.
They made fun of it. Like, why am I wearing a halter top and short shorts in the jungle? This makes no sense.
It was great when she complained about that, and then all she did was tie a sweater around her waist. Like, why don't you put that sweater on? Like, why are you so bummed out about this outfit but refuse to cover it up?
Exactly.
It's very funny.
Exactly. So I guess let's just get into the plot in under 3 minutes. Let's get right into it, and then we'll start going joke by joke, because I love this movie so much, and I just want to watch it again. Right? We should just spend the entire episode watching.
Can we watch 43 minutes 37 seconds?
That's perfect. Are we ready in the booth
we'll
for the plot
for
in under 3 minutes?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Okay, so we get the prologue where the board game is in the on the beach, like in the end of the first one, I think, maybe. Yeah. I can't remember. And the dad comes, dusts it off, takes it to his son. His son's like, this is lame. I don't want to play board games. So the game then turns into a video game, like an Atari cartridge.
Yep.
He plugs that in, plays, gets sucked in. We're now into this Breakfast Club opening. You got the nerd, Spencer, who's awkward and kind of in love with Martha, who's the smart girl who doesn't want to do gym class because it's stupid and she thinks it's pointless. Then you get Bethany, who's obsessed and selfieing and FaceTiming in class, and you get the fridge. Savage, who's now a football star, used to be best friends with Spencer, and now just has him write his papers for him. They all get detention.
Right, they all get sent to detention where they have to pull staples out of magazines. They find this old video game console. They look over. There's a TV. They're like, let's do it. They plug it in. They are forced to
choose characters. One's already taken.
Yep. So they're forced to choose, and then one by one, when the game starts, they get sucked into the game. They all fall down. They realize who they are. They're like, fuck, I think we're in the game.
Yeah.
And then the Flight of the Conchords. The hippopotamus comes and eats Jack Black.
And they realize they have lives.
Yep. And then Jack Black falls back out of the sky. And then they meet the Flight of the Conchords guy, who's like,
Mary.
Yeah. You
welcome to Jumanji.
You need to reverse the curse.
I like that accent.
No, it was off
so
the
we
cuff.
Find out that Van Pelt, Professor Van Pelt, used to be friends with Bravestone, The Rock, aka Spencer, and he betrayed him. He stole a jewel from Jumanji, from the Eye of the Jaguar, and he's able to control all the animals. So he has the jewel there. He gives it to him, then leaves, and they're like, "Why can't you just drive us?" Which I always think in video games, like, make it that way. And so then the first level is the run or something, and all these X game bikers come and start attacking him. And they realize their skills. The Rock whoops a couple dudes. Karen Gillan jump kicks a guy, and it's awesome. And then they defeat this level. They realize they're on the second level, which was the second.
They got to get to the village.
They got to get to the village.
So they get to the village, and they're like being conspicuous. And then Kevin Hart eats cake, and
his
cake is weenus. It explodes him, and then everyone has their eyes on him. And then the child is like, "Come with me," and he brings him to the basket with the snake. And they pull the snake out, and he declaws the snake, and then they get the elephant.
The elephant that says, "When you see me climb." And they're like, "I don't know what the hell this means." Yeah. There's an awesome fight scene with Van Pelt's dudes, and The Rock wrecks him while announcing each of his moves.
Yeah.
Then they go.
Nick Jonas shows up and brings him and like takes them with a torch. And he's
to Alan Parrish's house, Robin Williams' character from the first movie.
Yeah, and they realize that he's been there for 20 years.
Take it home,
he's like, "Oh, boy." Okay. He's like, "Let's go to the transportation shed. I've died here twice. I don't want to die again. That's why I've stayed here for 20 years." They go, and they teach her how to flirt, and she distracts the guards. And then they
dance fights.
Yeah, she dance fights, and then they get in the helicopter and they helicopter away, and then they get to the place with the torches, and The Rock is like, "I'm gonna climb up the trees," and then he doesn't, and then fuck you.
Okay, they get there, and then the Jaguars are attacking. They distract them. They work as a team. Karen Gillan realizes she needs to die to drop the jewel back to The Rock as he's rocketing up it on his motorbike. He puts it back, and they yell Jumanji, and they're back, and they're all happy now, and they've learned,
and then they kiss each other.
They save Alex Reek Freak House. They save Alex Reek because it turns out we forgot that in the. That he, it turns out he was the son. He's the guy in the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's why they can't select Seaplane.
Colin Hanks. I did have a question about why Seaplane was the first avatar taken and not Brave.
I think because it was just the first one up top. He was probably like, "What's this?"
Yeah, but why? Why wasn't the captain of the expedition the first
some people
guy?
Some people like side characters. Some people like the wizard. Some people like the mage.
Yeah, but then you choose that. They don't have that. Up top.
That's a good point.
That's all I'm saying.
Plot hole.
Yeah.
Guys.
Try again.
So,
Jumanji.
I feel like what this movie does really well, which we missed when we saw it in theaters because we were late, because every time my wife and I go to the movies, it's coordinated with Daisy's nap time, dropping her off at my in-laws, and then rushing over to the theater that's like 10 minutes away.
I say don't. I say leave her at home and let her deal with it.
Just
how's she going to learn?
How's she going to learn?
You know what I mean?
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
So we thought, oh, there's 20 minutes of previews. I read the time wrong, and we were like 10 minutes past that. So we came in right as they were at school already. So I missed the Freak House thing. I missed the prologue. And all that stuff, I had to read about it online because I was like, what the hell did we miss? But this movie does a really good job in like 10 minutes of setting up all the characters and getting you right into the action.
Yes, they did a couple of things were a little bit clunky. The board game to video game transition it just like happened.
Yeah.
So
it's magic. It's Jumanji,
obviously,
bro.
Obviously it's a magical board game, so it can do it at once. But like... All right, like maybe we could have just found a board or a video game, I guess, or like maybe there's a console in there that, or like a cartridge in there that Alan Parrish didn't find because I don't know
I think it was a way for them to say we're respecting the old one, but morphing it literally into a new one.
Yes, it it happened very quickly.
Yeah,
and it was just
Jesse
like,
wants a 20-minute opening.
I don't,
of how this video
I for
game.
Sure don't. I definitely don't want that. But it was just like a couple of things where they ran into roadblocks where they're just like, let's just like, I don't know, let's just jump over the roadblock real quick. Let's not figure out how to remove the roadblock. Mm-hmm. Let's just jump over. And there were a couple of other like conversations when they were in the jungle between like the two women mm-hmm. when they had their conflict, and Jack Black like all of a sudden was imparting this deep wisdom. You're like,
they never hinted okay. that at all in
yeah,
the real life.
Yeah, yeah, there just wasn't any of that. But now we're in the jungle and we have to have a two-line conversation, and we just did it.
I liked that conversation a lot. I just wish they had set up that Bethany was mm-hmm. had any instance of that.
Had any depth.
Yeah, because they in the beginning, I feel like they do establish the tropes really well, and then they explore and deepen them with the other characters yeah. in the jungle. But I love the stuff with Spencer and Fridge where he's like, yeah, it's cool. It's just, we're just friends for our whole childhood, but no big deal. Right. And then Freak House, the dad from Freak House, is like, what'd you say? And that's a cool, we walked in on that and we're like, what the shit's happening? Yeah. Who's this dude? But yeah, I think that they establish and they endear the kids to you. Even Bethany is funny, even though she's annoying. The fact that she's FaceTiming in class and she's like, my friend's helping me out with something right now. And believe me, I don't like this right. any more than you do. Right. I love that.
I love the end of the conversation. And I got part of the conversation, oh, yeah. but not this part. But when the teacher's like, all right, just like get off the phone. Yes. She's like, yes, definitely in 2 minutes. I'm going to wrap it up in 2 minutes. I will wrap it up. He's like, no, now.
You
like,
do realize there are other people. Yeah, oh, there, that's you what to, we got. Yeah. Oh, wait, you have the mother's goodbye, which is sets up Spencer so well yeah. with his. I really, really kind of keyed into Spencer in this movie because, like, the hand sanitizer, and this is something my mom pretty much would have said. It's not what she said specifically growing up, but it's what she meant with 90% of what yes. she said when I'd leave the house. Can we play clip number one?
Don't forget your EpiPen, and please remember the world is a terrifying place. Be careful of everything, and I love you more than life itself. See you Sunday night.
Okay.
The world is a terrifying place. Be careful of everything.
So that's like a brilliant example of what I'm talking about, where they like, we need to set up Spencer in 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. And like, how can we show yeah. you what his life, and they get in there that they never revisit that his parents are divorced,
oh, yeah.
that his mom is like overbearing and very concerned and he is allergic to everything. Like they get all that in right there.
Yep.
And it's something that no mom would ever say on her way out of the room, but it perfectly encapsulates oh, yeah. what his life is.
Yeah. And in the world of a movie like this, you buy it and you go, yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. And like I said, that was a really good, like, that was on the good side of the spectrum. Yeah. Of like, I see a roadblock. We have very little time with these teens. Mm-hmm. We have to get as much into these 10 minutes as we can.
That's what I appreciated that they did this and then they just moved. Because we came here to see The Rock mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. everybody. We didn't come here for a 30-minute buildup or sometimes movies take way too long to get to the point, and actually Ready Player One does a great job of just getting you into the oasis. Like 3 minutes in, you're in the oasis. Yeah. You're like, fuck yes!
For sure. Mudbound. You see like the ending conflict in the beginning and you just are sucked in and have to watch the rest of the movie. So same thing.
Let's just talk about Mudbound for 34 minutes. How's that? So then this is a great set. I love this with Bethany and the teacher. Clip number two.
You're aware there are other people in the world, right?
All the adults in this have such a tiny role, but are hilarious. Yeah. And like the gym teacher too, where she's like, you know, I don't want to do something stupid, like be a gym teacher. And she's like, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
You're going to detention. The principal has some really good stuff. I don't think we have a clip from that. No,
we do not.
But he has some great, like, there's a great message for a younger audience as well. Like, what kind of, it has a very breakfast club vibe where it's like, what kind of person do you want to be? And there's this theme that keeps coming back that even though in the video game you have 3 lives, in real life you only get 1 life. And what life are you going to choose? And I think that this movie, why it succeeds so well is it's hilarious, but it does have heart underneath it all.
Yeah.
It's not just, even if they had to rush some of the development, there's still development.
For
and
sure.
Even if Bethany changes in the game a little and it seems a little forced, I would rather have a little forced and still have her grow to become who she is by the end instead of just take till the end to get there.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So I think that's why this movie resonated so much. And The Rock, seeing The Rock vulnerable is, and that's why Central Intelligence works so well, is because he's like a dopey big kid in that movie. And he's so vulnerable and like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. And like, one of my favorite scenes is when he goes to hug her. It's such a funny comedic moment where Kevin Hart and her hug, and he's like, all right, girlfriend. And then he comes up and is like, yeah, give me a hug, girlfriend. And he like doesn't raise his arms at the right time. And he's just like, oh, okay. It's just because I've done things like that in my life where I'm like, yeah, all right, high five. Should we get a hug in here? No, I don't. Yeah. Like, right. Super right. awkward with women. I'm still awkward with my wife sometimes. She's like, we've known each other for 10, 11 years now.
Yeah.
What is your deal? Well, I had...
You make me very nervous.
I had 25 years of nervousness. I'm still... The ratio is off.
Yeah, I'm still adjusting to this new life of not nervous.
It'll never adjust for me.
No, my favorite instance of that in the world is when you go to like either shake someone's hand or give them a high five and they've already put out the pound, and then you don't like, am I gonna adjust or are you gonna adjust? And there's a game of chicken, and the last minute you decide to switch, and then they've also like decided it's a mess, and that's happened to me multiple times.
I know people who, like, will go in for more elaborate things than that.
Yeah.
Some of my friends, it took me a while. Like, they'll do more, like, yeah, like, I don't know if we're doing the hug thing.
Right.
Are we doing the pull-in for a... so now I just go, hey! And, yeah, like, it's a clear sign of, look, bear hug. Yeah. It's just like, easier.
Or I'm going to attack you.
So, anyways, now that we've only talked about the prologue, they set everything up awesome. Very Breakfast Club. Which is perfect, and a perfect homage, since it's kind of an 80s homage with, like, the old-school video games, too. This feels like a very a Nintendo-type game that you would play, where the quests are really simple, the NPC characters are hilarious, which I've always thought is so funny, and it's never been portrayed that way in a game, in a movie before, based on a game, obviously, because they're still trying to make it realistic. But having Murray, or I forget the actor's name, from Flight of the Conchords, repeat the things over and welcome to Jumanji, mouse, welcome to Jumanji, and just like how repetitive video games are and how expositional they are,
and how like you have to say the right thing to get to elicit the right response, otherwise they'll just bounce back with whatever they were saying earlier. Yeah,
there's an example of a movie that did this that didn't work, which was Hardcore Henry, which was an entirely first person action film. The whole movie's first person. I almost threw up in theaters. They would warn. They had signs warning people that it has been causing audience members nausea. It's technically an amazing movie, but like Chartel Copley's in it, and he's like, "Here, throw that grenade over there, and we're gonna blow that up. I'll bet it'll make a huge explosion, and we'll get through." And you're like, "Wait, that doesn't work in a movie,
right?"
But it works when you're calling it out as like, "What the what what." Why is he saying that over and over?
And he was also like the way they did it and the way they eased it in. He was very lifelike and human like, and he didn't seem like an avatar or like a character. It was like a person, and they discovered through talking to him that he was this character.
Yeah.
So it also like happened very seamlessly, which was good.
Oh, okay. So this next sound clip is amazing. This is when Jack Black, so they first get there, Fridge is freaking out. He's got the typical awesome Kevin Hart joke of, where's the top half of my body? Where he's yelling and freaking out, and I love that Kevin Hart so much. When paired with the right people and the right script, it's perfect.
Yes.
And even when not paired, it's still really funny.
Sure.
But this is like perfect Kevin Hart. And then we got Karen Gillan freaking out because Martha, she's like, why am I so skimpy? This is weird. And the seeing The Rock enamored with his own muscles is hysterical.
It's pretty
like,
funny.
Look at this. Yeah. Where's this guy?
Yeah, like poking at it.
If I had muscles a fourth the size of The Rock, I'd be like, damn, Jesse, look at this, man.
Yeah.
But his is like the size of my head, and we all know I have a giant dome.
And it's getting bigger, right? Have we talked about this?
I'm worried about his health.
Like, maybe just relax on the weightlifting, The Rock.
Can we just say real quick before the sound clip?
Yes.
I am going to venture to say that The Rock is going to stand the test of time. And years from now, when people are revisiting his early work like we revisit Stallone and Schwarzenegger, he's going to be, I think he already is in the upper echelon, if not tied with them as one of the best action heroes of all time, because he has the charisma and the comedy of a Stallone, but even more so. Mm-hmm. And he has the badassness of, and the size of Arnold. So like, he's like combined everything that makes an action hero awesome, but he's also a damn good actor and has comedic timing.
Sure.
So it's like, how did this happen? He's awesome.
He's also...
I will watch anything with The Rock in it.
He was also one of the most popular professional wrestlers, yep. And he played high-level college football. So he's a man of many, many talents.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm super jealous of... I'm jealous of a quarter of The Rock's talent, let alone all of it.
And then he did Baywatch. Ooh, so actually, like...
That's his one misstep.
You know,
that is. I went with my father-in-law to that. Have you seen it?
No.
There's about a five-minute boner joke.
I hear it's good.
I hear good things. There's about a five-minute boner joke in the beginning where the dude gets a hard-on because the one hot Baywatch babe, and he falls onto a wooden, beach chair.
Okay.
And gets stuck, but they show it. His dick and balls get twisted this way like a Excalibur sword, which physically makes no sense.
Okay.
And there's like a 3-minute sequence where they're trying to talk him out of having a boner so he can get out of here. And I'm like, I'm with my father-in-law. This is super fucking awkward and not funny. Just objectively, it's not funny.
Should we next week cover just the 5-minute dick joke on Baywatch?
That for 43 minutes.
Just that as our
but
film?
Even in that movie, The Rock is awesome. It's the entire movie around him that's terrible.
It's the beach. The beach is terrible.
The bay is awesome.
Yeah.
Before anyone else. Okay, so now that we've talked a lot, now this is Bethany's reaction to finding out that she is Jack Black when she looks in the water and sees a reflection. Clip number 3.
I'm an overweight middle-aged man.
We didn't get the beginning where she goes, no!
I know.
It's so good.
I know.
This movie reminds you how awesome Jack Black is. Because I feel like he is having a renaissance. Mm-hmm. Like, he was huge in the film and in the comedy world. And then he just kind of went away for a little bit.
Yeah.
And he did little things here and there. Like, he did a few, indie dark comedies mm-hmm. that not many people saw. And then Goosebumps was awesome. If you haven't seen that, it's a really fun movie. And then this is, like, perfect Jack Black comedy again, but not super broad like when he first came on the scene.
Sure.
You're used to him being like big and crazy and I'm a school of rock guy, you know? Yeah. And it's Tenacious cool to see D. him playing such a over-the-top character but dialed in. I feel like I'm just going to do a dissertation on his character.
On
the
Jack
entire
Black's
movie.
Acting
yeah.
chops.
It's so good. He should have been nominated for an Academy Award.
He should have won.
He should have won. He should have won. The names. Let's talk about the names. Mouse Finbar.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Hart. He thought it was Moose, and he realized it's Mouse. It's great. Dr. Smolder Bravestone.
Yep.
Ruby Roundhouse, Killer of Men.
Sure.
And she's an expert in dance fighting.
Which is great.
And then Shelley Oberon, the curvy genius. That's really misleading.
Very misleading. Extremely
it's
misleading.
Like they set that up on purpose.
I do like that they made her good at dance fighting, but not, like, apparently regular fighting. Yeah. Like,
she needs music.
Yeah. But then she just regular fights. She never, like, does dance moves
right.
while
it's
she's
not
fighting.
Like, din-in-in-in-in.
I guess when she was first doing it, she started dancing with the guys mm-hmm. and then was fighting them. But that second time when they turned the music on for her to dance fight, she just fought.
The fight scenes are really good in this movie, too. Yeah. They're super fun.
Yeah.
And the choreography's awesome. I forgot that Murray, whatever his real name is, I'm an asshole. Nigel Billingsley is a great character for I'm Nigel Billingsley. Welcome to Jumanji. It's a perfect name.
Yes.
These are all very 80s video game names. What's the next clip we got? Water with a backpack on. Okay, so this is when Jack Black gets eaten by the hippo.
Yeah, and they're discussing who's going to jump in and save him.
Can we play clip number 4?
You better get in there and go save her.
I'm not getting in there. You get in there.
I'm not going anywhere. I got a backpack on. You don't get in water with a backpack. Everybody knows that.
So true. You don't.
You're going to get it's water resistant,
yes.
not waterproof.
Right.
Let's be real here. You're going to ruin a lot of shit.
You don't want to submerge your backpack in mm-mm. water. It also will probably act as a flotation device.
Yep.
So if you're trying to get under where Jack Black probably is, you're not going to be able
to
do it.
He wasn't being a coward. He was just being practical.
You know what? He's the carrier of weapons. He's the weapon valet.
Yeah.
So he's got to protect that.
Which is also such a great thing that he's the valet to The Rock. So we find out some of the weaknesses, which I love, that The Rock has no weaknesses,
yes.
and he has a boomerang skill, which comes in glorious fashion later on.
Once.
That's fine. I don't care. We find out that he has smoldering intensity, which comes back a lot.
Maybe off balance with the amount they use the boomerang.
Let's use the boomerang. Yeah. If I had one note, it would be use the boomerang one more time.
Yeah, and maybe the smoldering one fewer.
But every time Jack Black reacts to his smoldering, it's so funny. He's like, could you do that again? He's like, what? I just said, let's go finish the game. He's like, no, 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 with the smoldering? Damn, that's a man right there. It's just it's so funny. Oh, shit. I just want to watch this movie again right now.
I would have loved, this is not a criticism, just something I would have loved to see. I would have loved for him to kill one of the guys with a smolder, since that was his strength, but it was just used sort of frivolously as they went through.
Yeah.
But if he had been able, for somebody. If he had been able to kill by too much smolder, that would have been great.
Yeah, I like that. If there was some way, maybe he distracts them while they're on the motorcycle, and he's like, damn, that's some smolder, and then crashes into a tree.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do a rewrite on Jumanji.
Just small changes. Very small changes.
Very small changes.
Yeah.
We could all die. Remind me what part.
So
of
this is like. Just their realization.
Yeah.
Like they're looking at the tattoos. Jack Black just fell out of the sky. They're looking at their tattoos, and they're like, wait, so this is real.
Are you saying that we can actually die in here?
I mean, I don't know for sure.
You're not sure? You're not sure, Mr. Video Game Genius?
Well, I've never actually been stuck in one, okay? So I'm not certain, but yes, I'm afraid we all could die. That is my big concern right now.
Okay. That is my big concern right now.
I have many smaller concerns, but that is my biggest concern in the moment.
It's so good because that sets up some stakes. Because otherwise, if you're just in a video game with unlimited lives,
right?
And we never actually know if they die in the game, if they die in real life,
right?
But by buying into the fear of that,
sure.
And also, you know, it ties into our own fear of our mortality in real life. So I think that there's some cool stuff there. Then we get to there's this awesome. The first level where they're chased by all the bad guys on the motorcycles and the dirt bikes and all that. And there's some really cool stuff where the Rock just speeds past everybody. And Kevin Hart's like, why am I running so slow?
Yeah.
Just pissed off. And then the image of him riding on the back of the Rock piggyback ride is hysterical to me. Then we get Karen Gillan unleashing her full fury with doing a Ruby Roundhouse kick in the air and whooping some ass. And then from there, the next thing is obviously a pit stop. You got to do a pit stop.
Sure.
And this is where Bethany discovers, I would assume, because she's in high school, she has seen a penis at least in a magazine. I don't want to assume she's seen one in real life because maybe she's saving herself.
But the way they set her up, you would assume that she has seen one in real life.
But the way they act is that, but maybe it is. Mind-blowing to pee out of a penis for the first time.
I had a little bit of a hard time with this scene.
I thought it
seems like a three-year-old and not a high schooler.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like someone who couldn't even conceive of a penis.
It's like I can aim!
Right.
Can we play clip number six?
Oh my god, you guys, there's like literally a penis attached to my body right now. Martha, come look at my penis!
See, but for how stupid the joke is.
Yes.
Just Jack Black saying, Martha, come look at my penis, sells it for me because it's so ridiculous.
Yes.
And they go so far with it that it works for me. Because at first I was like, all right. And he's like, wait, I just aim? And he when the fridge mentions like, hey, I'm happy to say that I brought something from real life to the game. And Jack Black tries to look and he's like, you don't look? Come on, that's one thing you don't do.
Yeah.
I like all that stuff. I think that that works. It's a ridiculous joke.
Yeah. I think they could have done everything they did minus Jack Black being like, can you come help me and show me what to do?
Teach me how to pee.
Teach me how to pee. Because like they could have just been like, I've been dreading this the whole day, but I have to pee. And everyone else could have been like, yeah, same.
Yeah.
And they could have just gone and peed.
Because right now it's like, they're setting up the Bethany so dumb she doesn't know. Like, it's one thing if she's like, I don't want to look at it. Can you pull it out for me? Like, that could have been funny. That could have been something super awkward for Kevin Hart, where he's like, I'm not going to do that. And she's like, I don't want to look at it.
Right.
You look at it.
Right.
And I don't want to look. And that could have been a fun back and forth. And finally, she's like, fine, I'll do it. Oh, this is crazy.
Yeah.
That might have, excuse me. That might have been a way to fix. I still have the black lung. That might have been a way to fix the ridiculousness of the setup of I don't know how to pee.
Because like
penis. All
the jokes don't need that setup. It's just like I've been dreading this because this is the first time I peed with a penis.
Has she never gone on a road trip and used one of those funnels that they give you?
For fuck's sake, I have questions.
Have you seen those?
No.
Apparently, there's like a camping thing for females because it's you can't aim.
It's 2018.
You, and it's like a funnel you pee into so it doesn't get all over your jeans and stuff.
I will say, I pee into funnels.
Just for fun.
Just in my everyday life.
Yeah. Why not?
Because I got to get them in the bottle. You know what I mean?
Got to save that urine. It's sterile for if the world ends. That got weird.
In case I need to clean a wound.
In case
I'm bit by a stingray.
we have Van Pelt. Which, by the way, I did, when I watched the Honest trailers for this, they brought up a good point where anytime they cut away to Van Pelt, the bad guy, without the characters knowing that breaks the rules of a video game.
It does. It for sure does. But I thought the same thing when I was watching it.
Cinematically, if you don't show the villain, other than the three times he shows up with them, then you have literally already, if there's one complaint, aside from the bad lead up to a penis joke, and Kevin Hart maybe infusing a little more of the fridge, it would be that Bobby Cannavale's character has no development at all, hardly. But he's a video game villain, so I don't care. But if they didn't have him at all in it, except for when he pops up, it'd be like, who, what? So they needed those few little...
They had it with the like video in the beginning. When
they should have done that again.
One more time. We needed was that one more... Like, maybe the kid... That brought them in to get where the snake was, the Black Mamba.
Yeah.
Maybe that kid had a story about him and they saw him.
I'm also confused if he still has the powers now that he doesn't have the gem, because it seems like he can still control all the animals in Jumanji even though he doesn't have the gem.
It seems, from what I could get, it seemed like until the jewel went back.
He still has the power.
He still had the power.
Okay, that makes sense. He has the power. Ah, see, there you go. I already talked about how the fridge gets pissed off and pushes Spencer off the ledge like a dick.
Yeah.
It's a dick move to make him waste one of his lives. Then the smack against the wall is awesome. When they go to the bazaar, and you mentioned this already, where one of Kevin Hart's weaknesses, Mouse's weaknesses, is cake.
Yep.
And Bethany's like, oh my God, this bread is so delicious. And he eats it. He's like, what kind of bread is this? And they're like, pound cake. And he goes, what? And she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't remember how. What, I guess it's been so long since I've eaten bread, I forgot what it tasted like.
Yeah.
And then he explodes. Kevin Hart fucking explodes from eating cake.
Which was surprising. That was
so good.
That was a shock to me.
Holy shit.
And they even like built it up. Where he was like, oh, maybe I'm fine.
Is my head getting bigger?
Overeating. Yeah, like... Maybe I just have a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And then he explodes.
Like, full on, like spontaneously combusting from the inside.
Yes.
I can't see damn light. What's clip number 7?
Clip number 7.
Strong punch?
Yeah. So that's someone trying to fight The Rock.
Yes.
And The Rock is like, are you sure you want to do this?
So they do the Black Mamba thing. They find the next token and clue. And The Rock's fight scene is awesome because he does what Spencer does in the beginning, where you know, uppercut, punch, head slam, kablow, and he's just chucking dudes through the ceiling. He punches a guy through two walls, and it looks all exactly what you want out of a Rock video game fight. And this is the intro to it, when this guy with like kind of a wispy villain mustache comes to fight him.
Very villain. I have to warn you, I think I'm a very strong puncher.
So, you know, that works for someone like The Rock. I've tried to get out of fights by using that, and it usually just ends up with... All right, I'll just tell the story. So I was at a bar, Dimples Karaoke Bar, rest in peace.
Nice.
It's gone now. Some guy was shitting on my song afterwards. I sang Light My Fire by The Doors, and he was riffing on me because he's like, half that song is just a keyboard solo, dick. And I was like, whoa! I didn't fucking write it, all right? It just happens to be my vocal range and something I feel comfortable with after I've had a few drinks.
Yeah.
Fucker.
Yeah.
And he was like, what'd you say? And I was like, I repeated myself again. Fucker. And he was like, oh, yeah, let's do this, bro. And I was like, all right, this guy clearly is stronger than me, but maybe I can Bruce Lee trick him. Like, I can do the one-inch punch or whatever that Bruce Lee does. So maybe I can intimidate him. Like, I'm skinny but mighty. And I said to him,
I have to warn you, I think I'm a very strong puncher.
And then he just went like this, and my fight or flight kicked in, and guess what it chose? Flight.
Oh.
Got the fuck out of there.
I was on the fence.
Then I got in trouble for not paying my bar tab, too.
Damn.
It was an embarrassing night.
That's, like, as bad as it can be.
And I never punched in the face. Sang Light My Fire again.
See, that's a mistake. I would have followed that guy around and sang it at
every single
bar.
You know that it would be untrue. Yes.
You don't like musical notes?
Can't guy flirt. Okay, that's a good one.
So
you get something?
Yeah, it's
okay.
This is crazy. This is stupid.
I like crazy though.
I was.
It's okay. Just tell us.
At the end of high school, there was a house party, and I was in charge of setting up the drinks.
I love what I know her.
Keep going, please. I was spiking the punch, and someone started talking to me, and I turned and talked to them. And before I knew it, I had poured the entire... I meant to pour a quarter of the bottle, and
oh,
I poured
no.
the whole bottle
you,
in.
You pulled a Dwayne Johnson-sized bottle
yeah,
in?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a quarter.
And it was a mistake, and I was regretting it. And then someone who I knew had never had a drink in their whole life came up, and they were like, I would like some punch. And I was like, without saying it, I was like...
I have to warn you, I think I'm a very strong puncher.
Describing the role yeah. of making punch.
Well, that's it. Every party needs a good puncher.
A good puncher.
But you need a moderate puncher.
Yes.
Not a strong puncher.
Yes.
Unless you want all those high school kids shit faced.
You need someone who can calibrate. That's all.
So this next one, I think... Okay, can't flirt. This is where now we've gotten out of the bazaar. We meet C-Plane McDonough or something like yep. that. It's Nick Jonas.
Nick Jonas, yeah.
Nick Jonas. We find out that he's Alex Reek. He's been trapped in here for what he thought was months, but it's been 20 years. And he's never beaten this transportation level where they got to get a vehicle. He's died twice. He's afraid of dying again. He's been stuck there. So they go there and they're like, oh my God, I know. Bethany's like, oh my God, I can totally distract boys. That's what I do. And then this is where Jack Black teaches Karen Gillan. Should we play the sound clip or the video clip?
Let's play the sound clip okay. first because yeah. this leads to the video.
Okay.
I can't just go over there and flirt with some weird soldiers. I don't even know.
I mean, you got to have standards when you're flirting.
Do.
Yeah.
You do.
So she has to be taught how to flirt.
And this, we'll just play a little on. How long is this clip? We'll play like half of it. But yeah, this is one of my favorite, just the two of them back and forth. Just watch. It's so good.
Okay. In flirting situations, the key is making them check you out without letting them know that they're checking you out. You're just like, whatever, I'm doing me. And then when they try to talk to you, you can play it one of three ways. Dumb, super into it. Or nasty. Which way you play it depends on what kind of guy you're dealing with.
This is like my dream and my nightmare all at one time.
So good.
I'm not going to take that personally. Now, hair is everything. Touch it.
The guy just got rid of his hat.
Play with it.
Like in a way where he's never going to get that back.
Hypnotize them with it. Give me a flip like that. Okay, now angle your eyes down.
And Karen Gillan
head down.
Is so beautiful in real life that it's hilarious to see her being... And she plays this so well.
Anime character. Now sparkle.
It's like an anime character.
Needs work.
That's good enough. Good. You can stop it there. Sparkle like an anime character.
And then God, just like so the very quick analysis and needs work.
And then when she goes down there, the beginning of it, she's terrible.
Yeah.
They're like, what? Did she twist her ankle? Why is she walking like that?
Yeah.
And Karen Gillan kills it. She's super funny in it. And then the music kicks in. Ooh, baby, I love your ways. And she instantly is sexy
as
hell.
You should do that one in karaoke.
Yeah, I should next time.
Yeah.
You know? I want to tell you I love your ways.
Never mind.
No, okay.
Yeah.
And then she whoops the dude's ass.
Yeah, and it's sort of funny because, like, it turns out they're just characters that can only say one thing. So maybe anybody could have just gone down there and stood in front of them to distract them.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like they were that interested in her sexuality.
No.
They were just like... There's a something in front of us.
What are you doing out here?
Yeah,
alone.
Yeah,
yeah. I think so. I could see that.
But you know, it was worth it.
But yeah, it's
the
worth
journey
it.
Was worth it.
Because
yeah.
Karen Gillan kills it in that scene. She's sexy. She's fierce. She whoops some ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that The Rock comes out to help, and then she sees she's doing fine, and is like, "Cool, you got this."
Yeah, and it pays off the dance fighting.
Pays off the hug that I talked about
yeah,
my favorite.
Yeah.
Hey, girlfriend.
They did a really good job of paying off all the strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
It felt like it was a lot of information, and I was like, there's no way we're going to get to all this. And they got to every single one.
Do.
The only thing that was like when Nick Jonas is like, my weakness is mosquitoes. It's crazy that he was there for 20 years and was never once bitten by a mosquito.
Hey, that's citronella.
Bananas.
That's citronella at his fort, at Alan Parrish's fort.
Unlimited citronella.
You think he would just like smother it on himself to
yeah.
really help out?
Yeah.
I didn't get the sound clip for this, but I love The Rock's reaction when Kevin Hart is like, I think she's into you, man. And he's like, what?
Yeah.
It's just so funny to have The Rock yell high-pitched and think a girl wouldn't like him.
Yes.
Meanwhile, the rest of us just want to be The Rock. So then they get in the helicopter, they escape, they get shot and the blade, and they fall into this ravine, and they can't get back up, so The Rock has to reattach it. They're getting chased by albino rhinos.
Yep.
And then Kevin Hart drops the jewel.
Yes.
Can we play that clip? Clip number 9?
I dropped the jewel.
What?
You dropped the jewel? I leaned over, thought I had to puke, and I didn't. And it came on my backpack.
We need the freaking jewel!
I know. That's the crazy part, because I know we need it. So that's, we're in the pickle. We're in the pickle. Alex.
That's so good. Because mind you, at this moment, Kevin Hart is also drunk because they made margaritas,
yeah,
and he drank what the fridge can drink, but not what someone half the size of the fridge can drink.
Sure.
That's a crazy thing, because I know we need it.
Because I know we need
We're
it.
We're in a pickle.
We're in a pickle. We're in a pickle right now.
You know that half that was improvised.
Yes.
And it's hysterical.
It's so good.
I thought I was going to puke.
It's so good, because it made me laugh so hard, because it was the one moment, basically, in the movie. Cause Kevin Hart's at a 10 for the whole movie, and everyone else is sort of muted.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, like, the moment where it flips, where everyone else is freaking out, and Kevin Hart has to go down to, like, a 2. And it's entirely his fault, and it's just so
perfect.
Well played, yeah.
And then the way they get the jewel back, because it's being surrounded by the rhinos, is The Rock shoves him out, and he gets trampled and killed, and he's like, I saw so many things under those rhinos. I can't unsee that. And,
yeah,
and even though that's kind of a ridiculous joke, I still like it, too, you know?
Yeah.
Rhino balls are funny. What's the next one? Docs? Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
So this is Nick Jonas and Jack Black. And Jack Black is like, you know, ever since I lost my phone, I've been getting in, like, my other senses are being heightened.
Like her humanity?
Yeah.
Does phone mean something different in the future?
Which is a great question. Great response to that.
I think, scarily, it already does.
It in fact does.
How many times have you had your phone and go, I got to get my camera out, and not thought, like, this isn't a camera? I know there's a camera on your phone, but we refer to this. Or I got to get my calculator out.
Like 9 years ago, a friend of mine, this has made such a strong impression to me. Mm-hmm. They took out their phone and they were complaining about it. And they were like, my phone app is broken. And I was like, what do you mean your phone app? That is your phone. That's a phone. It's not an app. That is your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so yes, it means something entirely different.
And in 10 years from now, it's going to mean a chip in our brains, Johnny Mnemonic style.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, it's scary, scary shit. Don't even get me started on artificial intelligence. We'll just talk about that. Let's
Three,
go.
Two,
Here
one,
we go.
Go.
It's going to be the end of the world. Let's just say AI is Skynet. And I think specifically Facebook might be Skynet the way it's going.
What about sex robots, though?
Sex robots are going to lead to the downfall, because because any new invention in technology always goes pornographic first.
Yeah.
And sex robots are going to end up taking over.
This is going to sound like super ignorant. And it has nothing to do with sex robots. But today I was probably about 15 miles from my house when I realized I didn't have my wallet on me. I'd forgotten my wallet at home, and my gas light came on. And I almost lost my mind for a moment, because I've never used my phone for this before.
Apple Pay.
Yeah. And I, like, on a whim, put my credit card into my phone, and I almost didn't do it because I was like, I don't want my credit card information. But, you know, it's in there already. Who cares, right?
Yeah, who gives a shit? It's in, like, 16 apps.
Right. So I put it in there, and I'm glad that I did, because I was able to purchase gasoline and get back home.
You can also go to the bank and give them all your info, and they'll give you cash out of... I did that one time when I didn't have my wallet or anything before Apple Pay. I was like, here's my Social Security. Here's this, and this. It's me.
Right.
I just don't have my wallet, and I just need $20.
Right.
You know? Anyways, look at that. Life hacks. Now that Apple Pay exists, you don't need that. But if you ever don't have your phone or your wallet, go to your bank. Anyways, you learn something new every day. Steve's like, please stop talking about this. Let's play Cake Makes Me Explode.
How does he do that? Climbing is one of his strengths. Ah, gotcha. Cake makes me explode.
You know, it's funny, though. After Easter dinner, sweets make me explode, too, man. I'm not meaning gross, like shitting myself. I mean, like, I ate way too many sweets.
Yeah.
It was like, we got an Easter basket for my daughter, and I think I ate all her candy. Because she's 16 months old.
You're a thief.
She doesn't need all that shit.
Oh.
She doesn't need that.
Yeah.
We got it for show.
So you bought it for her.
I got her. And then you I got her a bunch of awesome stuff, like a fake toy purse that she can pretend to use and stuff, and fake credit card in there, because she always takes mine out of my wallet and throws them all over the living room.
So she can get gas if
she's
she
like,
needs
like, yeah. Well, shit, where's my credit cards? Yeah. They're on my living room floor. You know, so we got her a bunch of toys and cool stuff, but the candy, I ate way too much. I'm amazed that I didn't explode on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm proud of you for not.
Yeah, well, at least I don't have an exploding cake allergy, because that would be bad.
That was just as random as can be, but yeah. it paid off.
Paid off
two
so well.
Of my favorite jokes.
Paid off so well. So then there's the they go to the end temple. There's a bunch of awesome action scenes with the Rock wrecking dudes, and they're getting chased by jaguars. They smartly combine human versus human combat with animals this time around, because they didn't. The first movie is almost predominantly animals, except the hunter.
The hunter.
And I like that they didn't just hit the gas with the animals, but they did enough that it still felt like a Jumanji movie.
Right.
Without feeling like CGI overload, you know?
Sure.
And this whole thing is fun. There's all kinds of cool spectacle in it. But this clip here is where Kevin Hart gets real. Can we play that?
We always only had one life, man. Okay, that's all we get. That's how it works. The question is how are you going to live it? Which guy are you going to decide to be?
Damn, man, that's real.
Yeah.
That's real.
Coming from Kevin Hart, too.
That's also cool for, like, a kid watching this. Like,
totally.
What are you going to be?
Yes.
You know, don't waste it. I don't mean to get all deep and shit, but, like, I feel like half our lives we just get distracted with bullshit. Like, how often am I on Facebook for 20 minutes of time when I could have been writing a new joke?
I mean, I'm watching you on my phone, and it's a lot.
You know?
Yeah.
We're trying to have a podcast here, Jesse. You're periscoping. You're watching me on Periscope.
Yeah, you're right.
It's my own fault for live feeding on here, you know? You're just going to watch it.
You know, that's one of your weaknesses.
It's one of my weaknesses.
But it also, like, speaks to, there's a weird idea, not idea, but, like, feeling when you're younger, especially, like, if you do play video games, that, like, you can always just restart, and it's not like you don't necessarily think that about life, but it gives you a weird
you feel
impression
invincible.
Of stuff where you can, if you're playing a video game, you can just restart and try again with knowledge, and that's not how it is, and you just have to, like, the earlier you can understand that, the better and happier you'll probably be.
Look at that.
Look at that. That's right.
I think that's a pretty good thing to end on there. The more you know. I just want the rainbow with the star to come up.
Listen,
like the NBC thing.
I Googled inspirational speech, and I memorized it. And you know what? You're welcome.
I will say there's a very sweet ending where they get together in the real world, and Martha and Spencer kiss, and it's that awesome kind of like 80s sweeping shot. And you feel triumphant at that moment. You're like, yeah, the two nerds unite. And it's not like an unrealistic relationship with like a super hot girl and a nerdy guy. It's like they're both nerdy kids that just find each other. And I think there's something really endearing about that, and believable. I do. I didn't pull the sound clip, but when Kevin Hart comes riding in on the elephant in the end, and he goes, zoology, bitch. It's like, it's one of my favorites. I should have pulled that. But hey, zoology, bitch. Oh, man, this movie is hysterical. I think the only thing that bums me out is they smashed the video game, so I don't know how they're going to make a sequel.
I hope they don't. Honestly, like, it was fun. I had a great time.
It'll kill
I hope
it.
That this is it.
They could make a sequel with a completely different cast, but it's hard because then you're just rehashing the video game tropes again.
Yeah.
They're going to make a sequel, I'm sure.
I hope not.
But it probably won't be as good.
That's
this
what I
movie,
said about the original.
This movie is,
I love this one.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll surprise us a third time.
Yeah.
Hey, until next time, Jesse, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Too Much Jesse, and for sketch at The Prom Losers.
You can find me at The Ben Begley on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find my parenting blog and comedy stuff at Parents vs. Baby and parentsversusbaby.com. And let us know what you thought about Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle. How does it live up to the original? We didn't really even get into that, but I think it's a very worthy sequel. I think it's funnier. The first one's more kind of dramatic and has like some darkness to it, but this one's ridiculous. Let us know which one you like better. And if you want to see a Jumanji 3, let us know about that and what you think we should do next week. We're leaning towards another The Rock movie. We'll see.
Yeah, the 5 minutes of Baywatch.
Yeah, the 5 minutes
jokes.
Of Baywatch. Yeah. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.